Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, June 29th. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. Governor Mark Gordon protected the Sublette Pronghorn Migration Corridor. He made the announcement Friday at Trappers Point in Sublette County, a bottleneck area along the route that spans from the Tetons to the Red Desert. Wyoming Public Radio's Camila Kadelska has more.
The designation guides how future development for energy, agriculture, and housing can happen within the 165-mile corridor. Pinedale Roundup reporter Gavin Tribble was at the announcement. He says Gordon said his designation is a great achievement.
He was very happy about protecting the environment. He also mentioned he did not believe it would affect oil drilling due to new horizontal techniques.
The designation is the culmination of a years-long process that began in 2020. That's when Gordon announced an executive order to preserve antelope and mule deer corridors while still allowing most energy development and agricultural uses to continue. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Camila Kadelska.
The Wyoming Department of Health confirmed a second case of measles this year, this time in an unvaccinated adult in Teton County. The public may have been exposed on June 17th, 18th, and 20th in Grand Teton National Park's Coulter Bay Village and at the Target in Jackson Hole on the morning of June 25th. The state health officer is asking people to watch for symptoms for 3 weeks, including fever and a rash that starts on the face and spreads down the body. The state recommends getting the measles, mumps, and rubella, or MMR, vaccine. Lawmakers are looking to revamp funding for school nutrition, technology, and athletics during next year's legislative session. Wyoming Public Radio's Jeff Victor reports that could all come in one bill.
Wyoming reworked the way it funds public education earlier this year, adding $123 million to public schools and raising teacher salaries across the state. But it left a few thornier topics for next year's session, like how much to give each school for student lunches, for school resource officers, and for laptops.
It's a little staggering.
Senator Tim Salazar, co-chairing the legislature's School Finance Committee.
But at the same time, we're going to have to figure it out.
The committee concluded by directing its hired consultants and legislative staff to bring back new breakdowns, data, and options to the lawmakers' next meeting in August. There, the committee will begin crafting a bill to address all of these issues and more. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Jeff Victor.
A challenge to two national monuments in Utah can now continue. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen has more on last week's ruling from a federal appeals court in Denver.
The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals is sending a case over the Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments back to a lower court. It allows a lawsuit from Utah, a couple of its counties, and more plaintiffs to move forward. They challenged President Biden's monument designations, saying he overstepped presidential authority by making them too broad and too big. A district court said it couldn't judge the president's decisions because the authority to create monuments under the Antiquities Act is so expansive. But two of three 10th Circuit judges said that argument didn't hold water. Now the lower court has to take another look. In the meantime, the monuments are still intact. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
According to Yellowstone National Park officials, a youth was injured by a bison on Friday morning. The incident happened near Mud Volcano just north of Fishing Bridge. The 12-year-old visitor sustained injuries and was transported to a nearby hospital. The incident remains under investigation. Park officials report more people are injured by bison in Yellowstone than any other animal. They remind visitors that bison are unpredictable, can run 3 times faster than humans, and will defend their space when threatened. Visitors are advised to stay at least 25 yards away from large animals like bison and at least 100 yards away from bears, wolves, and coyotes. And here's Ivy Engel with a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
On This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on June 28, 1919, Van Tassel received the first charter for an American Legion post in the United States in Niobrara County. On June 28, 1921, Pinedale won the election for county seat of Sublette County by 6 votes. On June 29, 1890, the Cheyenne Daily Sun used red and blue ink throughout the 8-page newspaper to celebrate imminent statehood. On July 1, 1919, state prohibition went into effect in Wyoming, 7 months before national prohibition went into effect. On July 1, 1958, the Bridger National Forest celebrated its 50th anniversary. On July 2, 1867, the first law partnership in Cheyenne was formed, 2 days before the town was named. On July 3, 1868, the Wind River Reservation was created. On July 4, 1911, the first airplane flight in Wyoming took place in Gillette. On July 4, 1976, Centennial celebrated its centennial while also celebrating the bicentennial of the United States. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What is Wyoming's state tree? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, who is the all-time leading scorer for the University of Wyoming men's basketball team? With 2,311 points scored between 1985 and 1988, UW's all-time leading scorer was Dennis Dembo. Congratulations to Melinda Sosman, the first with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Do your best to have a productive Monday and join us again tomorrow.